second proposal. Thank you. He's seconding the one proposal for adoption. He's seconding already. I hope that unit is adopted as is. We've got two sets of minutes that we have to go through. Wise other members are coming, we just have to push through these minutes before it all comes to the Jesus the matter. We've got the minute of the November 13th and the 30th of October that we have to go through. Okay. I presume members have read through the minutes. Can we start with the minutes of the 30th of October? Another smart?
One thing that struck me, sir, that agenda says the date is Friday, 30 October. The agenda is considerations of minutes of 30 October. Doesn't it mean 9 October? Because presumably you can't sit on the 30th and consider the minutes of the 30th. Yeah,
let's consider the minutes of the 30th. The 9th of October. I think there's a meeting on the 30th of October. The other minutes, I think, on the 9th of October, it's not this meeting. Yeah, we've got the minutes of the 9th of October. And I think we adopted those minutes. And the subsequent meeting was on the 30th of October. And the last meeting was on the 13th of November. We are on the minutes of the 30th of November. I'm sorry, 30th of October. Another question?
I think the minutes of the 9th of October could not be adopted because of the quorum. So they need to be adopted here if we form a quorum.
Oh, it's 3 sets of minutes in another way. Okay, let's start the minutes of the 9th of October then. Okay, let's start. Any corrections? Page 1. Page 2. Adoption. Second by another Chinese. Thank you. Can you move to the? Can you adopt all the minutes and then discuss matters arising the whole 3 sets of minutes because they are all related, I think. Can you consider the minutes of the 30th of October then? Page 1. Page 4. No corrections? Anybody move from adoption of the minutes? Thank you, Honorable Lee. Quite enough. Any seconder? Thank you, Honorable Nube. Can you move the last set of the minutes of the 13th of November? Let's start with page one. Page two.
Apologies, Uzulu, MMM, IFP, the spelling, Ulunatal.
Oh, it's Ulunatal, GP. That will be corrected. Yeah. Page two, page three. Page, correction, page three.
Page three, the last. Practically consideration that needed to be noted.
On page three. Okay, is that correction? Can you move to page four? Page five. Members, move to the next issue on the agenda, of which is the study tour. Matters arising from the 3 sets of minutes. Can we deal with that? Yeah, I see. Okay, can we move that as the it is towards the the last minute? Can we start with that anyway? The committee, as you remember, we wanted to go and make a study tour on any other parliament in the world or in the globe that has got a committee that is dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with. We identified Kenya and the Venice, and the Honorable Ambrosini was keen to help to get us to go to Venice. And as such, the committee secretary has made a lot of efforts to try to get us to, or rather to secure us a date in Venice. And so far, the trip has been provisionally approved, but we need to have to raise funds to go there. And then another thing is that they can only take 5 members. They can only take 5 members.
And then there's Strasbourg, which I understood was also being facilitated by the Venice Commission, according to the letters that have been circulated.
Yeah.
And that is for the whole committee, is it not? Oh, that's the thing.
Yeah, I was trying to raise funds for the whole committee. Yeah, but for the sitting, that it's only 5 members. And of which is sitting in that, I think that commission is only 2 members. Yeah. Okay, can you have any other proposal on that? Honorable Smart and Honorable New?
To understand, the committee has certain funds available to it. Normally, if for the new year, committees, portfolio committees, do have funds that they might consider using for study purposes, and we just don't have to have enough teas and lunches, then we just cut that out. But that is, in the Justice Committee, normally we try to see to what degree we can find out clips from the Portfolio Committee's budget. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you keep it good. Honourable Ngume?
Thank you, Co-Chair. Maybe in addition to what you say, are we fundraising to augment on our available budget? Or what's it, can I get the rationale so that maybe whether our budget doesn't allow us to go internationally, or we're just augmenting because maybe it's not going to be sufficient? Thanks.
Can I take this opportunity to give to our committee secretary to explain the whole process issues?
Good afternoon, members. When we submitted the applications to both houses, the comments made by the house chairs was that in principle they do not have a problem with the committee undertaking this study visit, but the committee should try and seek sponsorship. The answer, usually when committees go on these study tours, sometimes the committee section is asked to look to take those funds from the contingency fund. So in this case, I suppose we are going to ask the committee to consider reducing the number. That is what I'm thinking, because they might say, if it gets to a million, how is the committee going to operate? So we are just we are looking at how the organizations that we have forwarded the request for sponsorship, how the response is going to be, and motivate to Parliament that we have tried, the committee has tried to look for sponsorship. However, the committee would request that the committee utilizes its part of its budget on the trip.
Honourable Dipier.
On the chairperson, thank you. Can we get an indication what is the cost of a trip like this? Because when you go to a potential donor, they want to see the budget before they give the money. What is your objective, etc.? I also, before this meeting, submitted to you three institutions that usually support study tours: European Union, the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung, and then the Heinrich Bull Stiftung. So that's also institutions to interact with.
Honorable Swart, and then Honorable Sasivo.
Mr. Ambrosini is here, and he could maybe just brief us on the issue of sponsorship. But it is nice to be as inclusive as possible of the whole committee and not reduce numbers. And therefore, one should look carefully at the budgeting when it comes to flight costs are normally the biggest issue, and where it becomes a issue of some people not going because of budgetary constraints, there could be a consideration that those people fly economy class and not necessarily business class, which obviously increases the cost tremendously. So there are various ways of looking at reducing the budget that have been used by Parliament in the past. So that's something that one could look at. Thank you, Chair.
Can I take the last hand, Honourable Sosivo, and then I'll give over to Honourable Ambrosini. Honourable Sosivo.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to get a clarity here with regard to allocation to the committee. With this, because it's a joint committee, our allocation is inclusive of the NCOP and NA. It's not that NA gets its own allocation and NCOP gets its own allocation.
Now, the last question, yeah, it is inclusive. We just get one allocation, just like in other committees. Dawa Joint Committee. Welcome, Honorable Amrosini. We are discussing the issue to visit Venice. I think you are in a better position to tell us how far and what's the status of the fundraising. Over to you.
Mr. Chairman, being put on the hot spot as soon as I arrive, not even a cup of tea. But, if I understand it, we are talking about a delegation of 5 people to Venice and the entire committee to Strasbourg. So basically everyone leaving in that direction, and 5 people go to Venice for a couple of days for the formal general meeting because they cannot accommodate more than 5, and then the entire committee goes to Strasbourg. I have approached orally the Gordon Adenauer Foundation, and I understand that the chairman has followed up with a letter. I'm going to see them on Tuesday again because they have the Sharpeville celebration nearby, and I will try to look at it. The Venice Commission doesn't have funding for this year, but they say that if we engage and we reestablish a process, then they will allocate funding to South Africa. The funding that they had allocated to South Africa has been spent not for conflict. I mean, hey, I must be very important. Listen, if I knew you were so obliging, I would have made a more interesting request. But the funding allocated to South Africa has been already committed for a constitutional promotion processes. There are 2 grants given to Pius de Lange and Arthur Charleston, so they took that money. But if we engage in this process from next year, there will be money allocated again to South Africa for constitution making. I'm not sure whether this is much of a report, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm very willing to travel economy class if one can get an extra day afterward to relax, as the Honorable Smart and I did as part of justice when we went to London, which worked out quite well.
There were approaches that were also made deliberately to the embassy of what embassy? Italy and Germany. I haven't received any response. Do you know if
I will solicit a response from both, Mr. Chairman. I will do so. I have not received. I did not solicit it, but I shall do so.
Okay, Honorable, that's where we are. And
the date that we're looking at is somewhere in October. I don't know if you remember the actual date, but it's in October, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the commission will be sitting around those days.
If we're going to Strasbourg directly, I think it's about the middle of October, would it not be the week of the 10th onwards? Or the 12th, whatever the Monday is. I'm assuming that the committee goes to Strasbourg after you have been in Venice. And is it not that a Monday, the 12th? Monday the 12th, which people should then provisionally try to keep free for, and I've no idea how long we would be in Strasbourg. Is the Strasbourg leg under the wing of the Venice Commission?
Yes.
Yes.
I think what is going to be happening now, we will await the responses of these bodies that we have applied for funding from, and maybe even consider the one that Mr. De Beer has mentioned, approach them as well. But in the meantime, I think there's a formula that is followed when delegations are selected. I don't understand it to be that all members of the committee undertake at all. You usually decide on a number, and then that number is allocated accordingly amongst the parties. Maybe that is something that we shall have to apply our minds on as time goes on. And as been indicated by Mr. Ayer, there should be money available for this tour, even from Parliament, even though it won't cover everything. So that's why it's important that we succeed in our request for funding from outside.
Okay, can we pass the issue? It's still work in progress. Any other matters arising? The Limpopo visit,
I understand there are some who didn't make it to Limpopo. Ms. Ambrosini, a priority will be given to on the trip to finish to those who went to Limpopo. As you recall, we undertook a visit to Limpopo for public hearings, and we went to two municipalities, as I understand. One, we had to hold two separate meetings because of the vastness of the area. And we were left with two other municipalities which are concerned about this question of whether the official language should be Northern Sotho or Sepedi. We gave an undertaking to them that we would visit the province. Now, we then came back and made the necessary application to the chairpersons, and they approved the trip. But there's the other leg of the chief whip. The chief whip also is in a position to either give approval or not give it. He is still looking at the matter. He has not yet given his position at this stage. And they have been seeking a meeting. The chairpersons, the co-chairpersons have been seeking a meeting with him so that we understand what it is that is holding up the giving of the approval, because the necessary arrangements are underway for us to get there. So in due course, we shall report to all of you as to what the position is. But the important thing also is that if you can get an indication of the people who are prepared, who will be in a position to attend the visit, so that we are in a position to know the logistics that need to be looked into. The date that we've agreed on is what?
29th to the 31st.
Of April?
Of March.
Of March.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's the position. Any questions, comments?
I kept those 2 days open for as long as I could, and as committee secretary knows, there then came a point where I could no longer postpone confirming long-standing appointments or not, so it doesn't work for me. In addition, because of John Jeffrey's workload, we are sitting in the recess on the personal protection bill, so we'll be working. But those 2 days I can't make, and with regret, because I actually would like to go.
Okay, can we pass the matter and then go to the next issue? Matters arising. Honourable members, you remember there was DEPSA that also came and made a presentation together with PENSALP in the last meeting that we had on the 30th of November. And the issue of DEPSA, the committee took a decision that there was a report that was, we were waiting a report that was commissioned to the former Minister in the Presidency, so part, we requested our staff to go and find out how far did they go with as far as that report was concerned. And we are still awaiting that report on the issue of DEPSA. though they did make a presentation on the 13th of November. I think that's another matter that's arising. And since then, we haven't really interacted with the issue as far, based on waiting for the outcome of the report that was commissioned in the presidency in the previous parliament. Okay, any other question on the issue or comment? None. Okay, any other matter arising? None. Okay, can we move then to the next issue of the agenda, of which is the deliberations on the 2009 submissions. Honourable members, you recall that we had actually 16 submissions, and we have had legal advices on those submissions, of which they were presented to us. What is remain now is for us to deliberate on those 15 submissions. One was submission from Jerome Feldman about the proposal to review the section of the Constitution 6.651b2, and Section C and Section 335 to Subsection F. The submission from the building contractor Limpopo. There was a submission from Rashid and Patel Company. Submission from McLeod, from Sequoia Center for Social Reflection. There was a submission from Dr. Apeku, from Mpumalanga, a submission from Mpumalanga Provincial House of Traditional Leaders. A submission from Tamsanga Ngube, submission from the Advocate for Transformation, submission from Mr. Mkalipi, submission from Idasa, and submission from Pai Ishmael. I just hope members have gone through the submissions as well. I don't know, members, but I'll propose from the chair that we look into those submissions that are not of a constitutional review, that did not fall in our ambit, and dispose of them. So those that fall within our ambit, we can have more time to deliberate on them. If I can have the proposal from the chair.
Guide us, Chair, to which ones, because I have gone through them again. But you no doubt have a little list of which ones you have seen.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the first submission by Jerome Feldman. Advocate Jenkins, they went through the submission and advised as such that most of them are of constitutional, they do need constitutional amendment. But there's one that it doesn't. I think that is section 16, subsection 2. And then there's the submission from this construction company organization in Popo, of which that's a matter for public works, is not for the committee. And there was a submission from Richard Rashid Patel and Company on infringements of constitutional rights. They looked through the documents and they thought that it does not need actually warrant a constitutional change. There was a submission from McLeod on the reference to court and constitution to confirm secular status and the like. And they looked through most of the submissions. They said it does not. They don't warrant constitutional amendment. There was a submission from Skwele Center for Social Reform on spreading of Section 25 of the Constitution. That I think that we still have to deal with that. It's the same like submission Dr. Mutse Peko. The submission on limitations of Section 28.2 from the same center. Restrictions on the conditions in which termination of pregnancy should be performed. That I think is adequately covered. The proposal was that it does not need a constitutional amendment. The last section that they proposed for amendment was Section 29.1 to provide for free basic education at least up to grade 12. Of which advice was that it does not need a constitutional amendment. And also on amendment of Section 29.1b, it's about less fast, of which does not need a constitutional amendment. And also on the request of Parliament to act legislation to recognize Muslim marriages, blah, blah, blah. Official advice that it does not need a constitutional amendment. And there was a submission by Reuters, of which it was not eligible. So the submission on sex by Tamsana Nube, of which it does not need a constitutional amendment. Am I too fast?
Legal opinion.
There was a submission on by Advocates for Transformation on the proposal that amendment section 168(3) and section 172 of the Constitution about the Labour Court and the Appeal Court, of which we said that one needs actually discussion, but I think we informally discussed it, and we said there'll be some other judicial things that are going on, which we'll keep it parking for a while. So there's a submission by Mr. Mkalipi, of which he does not need our committee, perhaps agriculture. There's a submission by IDASA, of which if members, they flout regulations in Parliament, they should also be not members as such. Example, a travel gate. We said informally, perhaps that should go to the study groups and discuss. There was submission by Ismail on this for legal advice on the legal remedies available to restitution claimants who are classified with compensation paid to them in respect of the land claims, of which we said it does not really need our committee. Basically, are those the submissions that have gone through that do not really fall within the ambit of the committee, but could be referred to relevant departments or relevant committees that can deal with. Honourable Smart.
I differ with you on one, sir. I think that in the case of Mr. Feltzman's, the first submission, I think that you said that the proposed change to the constitutional section 16(2c) was considered by the law advisors not to be a constitutional amendment, but it is. That's not correct. If you look at number 5, Advocate Frank Jenkins's point number 15, you'll see in the second line he says this is a constitutional matter. So like the rest of Mr. Feltzman's submission, I think it doesn't belong on this list.
Okay.
And may I give you do you want follow up, sir, on the thing that was referred to our study groups and our caucuses? So that was the IDASA item. Or do you want to take them one by one?
Yeah, we can take them one by one and discuss them, then dispose of them, those that do not fall within that. Except that on the IDASA issue, our study group is still in discussion with that one. We haven't dealt with it yet.
May I just note that the full DA caucus supports the IDASA submission and would support such an amendment?
Okay, not taken.
why don't you direct us to those that you understand to be clearly not of a constitutional nature and dispose of them? Yeah, and take a decision that we're not taking them on constitutional review on their basis, and then take the others that require some discussion.
Okay, the first one, honourable members, is that one of NAPCAT Limpopo, a request for the review of the Constitution Industry Development Board Act 2000, Act number 38 of 2000,
okay.
Of which, according to law advisors, it surely does not fall within our committee. We could refer this to the department or to the Committee on Public Works. Definitely doesn't fall within our ambit.
We advise them to take the matter up with the relevant authority.
I seem to favour the latter approach where we write back to the submittant and suggest that if he wants to take the matter further, he may wish to approach the other committee, so that it doesn't come with our good housekeeping seal of approval when we refer. Do you know?
Okay, can you dispose of this matter, members? Agreed? Okay, let's move. The second one is the submission by Rashid Patel and Company on infringement of constitutional rights. In short, if I remember well, I didn't go through, but there's somewhere where it says officials do not do their duty. They must be charged for trampling on our rights, because as a citizen you waited for help from the official within government, and he does not do his duty or her duty, and as if they infringes on your rights, that should be a criminal case or a criminal that could be criminalized. I think that was the gist of the matter. Honourable Smartness, sir.
So I would do the same again. I think this person entirely misconstrues the Constitution. The Constitution is not self-executing. We give effect to it in laws, and I find it a very strange proposition that such an offence should be created as transgression of the Constitution. We already have Section 38, and that is about as far as one must take it, and that is perfectly effective. I would suggest we follow now the same route that Chairman Bolamisa just proposed, and send the submission back to the person, say to them that we don't agree with the proposal, but he may wish to write to public service, because it appears to us that his real concern is public service.
I agree. The Constitution already provides a process of enforcing and protecting rights. If the person feels a criminal action has been, or an offence has been committed, the existing law must be followed. I don't see any... our constitution is forward-looking, not backward-looking, retributive with punishment. So, and that is also in terms of the legal opinion we received. So I think that the existing law covers criminal law sufficiently, and that we should refer this, reject this submission. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. We're getting disposed of this matter as well. Trying to just quickly go through those that we don't need. There was submission by McLeod, proposal that all references to God be removed from the Constitution to confirm the secular status of the Constitution, and that the Constitution establishes and includes basic rights in accordance with the precepts of Ubuntu for all sufficient beings, including animal God. Honourable Sir.
Chair, I would suggest that this submission is also rejected. Whilst our constitution respects it respects all religions, it is definitely not anti-religion. We have very strong clauses in our constitution that support the rights of religious bodies, such as Section 15.2. It might be, and I would suggest that the very existence of Section 15.2 indicates that the state has a very strong interest in religious bodies. We have the Institution for Religious Linguistic Bodies, and I think that this suggestion to remove any reference to God should be rejected outright. Thank you, Chair. And in fact, one further submission is that the Western Cape, that there are, we say in our constitution, may God bless South Africa. And I think that, that all those references should remain. It would be outrageous to remove those references. Thank you, Chair.
Another response?
Additional point, the Constitution contains fundamental human rights, and I'm not myself sympathetic to the idea of looking at animal rights. It's a matter that comes back and back and back and back to us. But I don't think that we should entertain the thought of granting rights to sentient beings who don't happen to be human.
Okay, any other views from other members?
In any event, regarding animals, there are enough laws that protect, that guarantee the protection of animals.
Okay, we can dispose of that matter. And then there was a submission from the Sequoia Center for Social Reflection. There were three proposals. The first one was the scrapping of Section 25 of the Constitution, of which the former Honorable Dr. Mopego Tsweku as well proposed. We still have to deal with that. The second proposal was the limitation of Section 28(2) of the Constitution so as to restrict the conditions in which termination of pregnancy should be performed. And the third submission as well was an amendment of Section 29(1) of the Constitution to provide for free basic education at least up to grade 12. Can we deal with the second one on limitations of Section 28(2) on pregnancy? When you read through the legal advice, it says there's adequate provision for that. Yeah.
Clearly from our side, we would support this view on, particularly in our background on the abortion issue. We might be in the minority, but I do need to put on record that we would support the 28(2) suggestion on the issue of abortion, just from the ACDP's perspective. Thank you, Chair.
But, Chair, are they not? I too am actually opposed to our abortion law as it stands. I detest it. But isn't this proposal as it stands, I know, please note, isn't this proposal really, doesn't it boil down to a proposed change to the law? Or does it go beyond that and ask for the Constitution to be changed?
I think Smuts is correct to a certain degree there, because the legal opinion indicates that the committee does not have jurisdiction over the matter. Now, we debated that with them and said we clearly do have jurisdiction, but it further recommends that the organisation should be advised to seek legal opinion as to how to proceed to challenge the provisions of the Termination of Pregnancy Act if they believe that the present formulation in the Constitution is not that contradicts the Termination of Pregnancy Act. So I don't think that we can agree with the legal opinion that we don't have jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction to amend the Constitution. We might not agree, the majority of this committee might not agree with this particular submission, but as I indicated, we from our side would agree with it, but it's open obviously for debate.
Could I argue that, as far as I'm concerned, what they're really asking for is an amendment to the abortion law? The Constitution is not conclusive on these matters. It is Solomonic on the death penalty. It doesn't say there can't be a death penalty. It's Solomonic. And on abortion, the right to bodily integrity, it is inconclusive. I mean, you interpret the Constitution when you write the law, and the court... I know there's no judgment on it, unfortunately. But so I think what they're really looking for is a change to the law. And in my view, although you could certainly argue that the Constitution will tend to be sympathetic to abortion rights and up to for therapeutic and so forth, I think that's fine. But I think that we're dealing here with people asking for a change to the law and not to the Constitution. And for that reason, I think that we should decline. Refer back to them and say, you know, they should lobby for changes to the law.
Can you have the views of other members?
Yes, that I would agree with Honourable Smart Shepherd, that indeed, effectively, this is a request for the amendment of the relevant legislation, not of the Constitution. on that basis. I'm sure there would be a number of people who would agree with Mr. Swart that something needs to be done about abortion, but the Constitution itself is not the offender at this stage. It can be, if there is an offense, it would be the relevant legislation.
Can you then say, let's refer this thing to this submission to the Committee on Health and the Justice so that they look at it and see if there's there any credence that they changed the law.
Obviously, the one in particular that dealt with the Termination of Pregnancy Act.
For consistency, don't you want to advise the person who made the submission to direct his consent to that portfolio comment?
Yeah. What is Dr. Becker after? Scrapping. May I say that we decline. We decline to scrap it.
Well, we put it aside because it's not only Dr. Peko, there are a couple of people who got the problem with propagandize. So that's why I said we'll put it aside until we've got enough time to discuss it. Okay, can you dispose of those two then?
The education rights.
That's a submission from this.
Now, Chair, just yesterday, the Minister of Education indicated on this NIFAS, this National Student Financial Aid Scheme, that we looked at that whole scheme and that apparently a number of students that have been asked to repay are incorrectly repaying because in some instances their debt is already prescribed. So I think that one can advise the person to raise this with the particular minister and to get information because there's a lot of work that's been done on this as of yesterday that was announced by the Minister of Higher Education. But we need to just make sure again here, the legal advisor says the committee has no jurisdiction over this matter. Now, I take that is not correct from a legal advisor. We have jurisdiction to consider all these matters. Otherwise, what are we doing at the moment? Thank you, Chair.
I want to agree, Honourable Chair, with Honourable Swart, that indeed that we made it clear when they first made this opinion that they can't tell us that there's no jurisdiction. Mm. We do have it. If we want to amend it, we're in a position to do it.
Exactly.
That's a question of them finding the correct terminology and saying that this does not warrant an amendment of the Constitution.
A slight deviation, Honourable De Pierre requested to be released at 2, so we will read him when the time comes, or when it comes. Okay. Honourable Mule.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, on education, there are two things. One is the financial burdening of school leavers after graduation, which goes to higher education. But there's also an amendment that is suggested for the right to education up to matric. So the advice should not only be referred to higher education, because there's this one, in terms of the question, is to basic education. So we need to respond. There are two responses that you need to do there. Thanks.
Okay, point taken.
And that still means that we refer the matter. We advise them to refer it to the portfolio committee on education, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, and then we are disposed of those two matters, except their proposal, or rather their submission on one, on the section 25. Okay, can we move on to the next submission? there's a couple of submissions. The fourth one was an amendment of Section 29.1b, so as to relieve graduates of their legal obligations. I think it's all actually, we've dealt with that one. And then, and the other one, Nsukupeko, I think we'll deal with that one. We have to deal with that one. The second submission was from submission, Richard, which was eligible. I think you just have to write back to say the submission was not from Richard, which was not eligible. Yeah.
And we even responded
to
the address, correct?
I mean,
if it's been strong enough, we'll write again.
Yeah. And then next one is the submission by Tamsana Mnube. Submission concerns itself with the connection between material and political inequality, how protests formed around demand address former may have positive consequences, not popular for amendment of the Constitution. I think it does not formally propose that to the amendment of the Constitution by Thompson. It's just an elaboration. It's venting out his anger, I think. Can you dispose of that one as well, then just write to him to say that it's not need a constitutional amendment. Agreed? Okay, the next submission is by Advocates for Transformation on the Labor Laws in the Supreme Court of Appeal and the Labor Court. Can you keep that in abeyance until perhaps there's finality on the issue?
Thank you. I'd like to support that. Okay. Perhaps by the end of the year we will have dealt with the Superior Court's bill. And yes, indeed, I think it's a great idea to keep it in abeyance.
Okay.
Do you want to put it in abeyance or do you want to deal with it in the same way we deal with the other side? Advising him to refer the matter to the relevant person.
I think that is right, but what Ms. Smart is saying is we will be dealing with the Superior Court's bill in the Justice Committee. He might not be aware of that, but we can bring this up ourselves if we think it's interesting. But
it's a load of nonsense. But you know, this body will make submissions to us in any case when we deal with it, you know that. And therefore, let's indeed follow the suggestion, write to them and say, as we're sure they know, we will soon be seized with the rationalization of the court. And would they not like to come and submit then? By which time their position will perhaps have matured.
Okay, thanks very much. Well, then I dispose of that as well. The next issue is a donor submission by Mukalipi on the printing errors in the Constitution. Of May Constitutional Day. Can you hear the views from members?
Who does that? Do we ourselves or do we again? Because with ourselves, this is for me, I think it should be asked this time, this is somewhere.
Okay, I agree with that we'll refer this matter to the department as advised. Okay, what is part of that matter as well? The last one is on by submission by Ishmael, submitted a request for legal advice on the legal remedies available to restitution claimants who are dissatisfied with compensation paid to them in respect of land claims.
I agree. It's a request for legal advice and legal remedies, and I think that it's not. There's no constitutional amendment requested here. The person clearly can approach an attorney or private legal practitioner if that person is dissatisfied with the compensation received, and that was the view of the legal advisor as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, well, can you dispose of this matter? Agreed, members? Okay, honourable members, those are those that have went through, and I thought you need to get rid of them or dispose of them as soon as possible. And then looking at the time as well, I think to encourage members as an incentive so that in future as well they attend meetings. we will adjourn here, and then the next time we'll discuss, you know, those that are a bit, need our a bit of a thought. Our members will go back home and study them, and when we meet next time, officially I don't know when it will be next time, but I think we've agreed that we'll try to meet every Wednesday, so that you can dispose as much as of this work as possible, because in May we're supposed to get new submissions again. So we don't want to get another pile of submissions. There's still, I think, the one or two that you've arranged from 2006, which one did that you still have to dispose of?
Some of these are genuinely very interesting, I must say. Some of those now left. Mr.
Felfund.
Very interesting.
Okay, any other issue, members? Comment? Okay, the meeting stands adjourned until further notice.